Happy Thursday, everyone. This is Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, Edmonton sports leader and the producer on the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. On today's show, I'm going to be joined by TSN 1260, Matthew Iwanek, of course, co-host and producer on the Dave Jamieson Show, as yesterday was a historic day, powerful day in the world of sports as the Milwaukee Bucks kind of kicked it off as they boycott their game versus the Orlando Magic. Following that, the rest of the NBA games were canceled. Some MLB teams chose not to play their games as well. A couple players opted out. And of course, the NHL went ahead with their two games as the Islanders and Flyers, when all this was going down, were in the middle of their game. Again, the NHL went ahead with their games. WNBA also called off their games. A lot of powerful statements from media and athletes from around the sporting world. And I don't think there's anyone better than Matthew Iwanek to join me and discuss these tough issues and these, you know, for some people, uncomfortable conversations, but they need to be had. Change needs to happen. Today's episode of Locked On Oilers is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliable, low prices, all parts your car will ever need. Hernan Salas here with you. It's my third Locked On Oilers podcast. The first two, very successful. A lot of downloads. I appreciate the support from everyone. Of course, you can also hear me on TSN 1260 and the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. You can hit me up and give us a follow on Twitter at Hernan the Man. That's D-A-M-A-N and at Locked On Oilers and Locked On Pods. And don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite app for the latest episodes. I'm now joined by my good friend and colleague, Matthew Iwanek from TSN 1260. Producer and co-host on the Dave Jamieson Show. Maddie, yesterday when you were getting off air, the sports world, there was some big news, historic statement made by the NBA when it comes to Black Lives Matter and justice for Jacob Blake. Your thoughts on what went down, specifically with the NBA and the Milwaukee Bucks getting this all started, boycotting their game, and then, you know, you saw the rest of the NBA teams follow suit, the WNBA. You saw some teams in the MLB and a few players opting out, but just your initial thoughts when this news broke yesterday about the time you were just finishing up your show.
Yeah, this all happened as our show finished. You know, I did a SportsCenter update saying Bucks and Magic are coming up in minutes, tip-off, and you know, next thing you know, I'm sitting at my desk and the Bucks haven't taken to the court, and it was the talk of the boycott. And it was an interesting moment because, you know, earlier in the day, there was the story that came out that the Toronto Raptors had been discussing with the Boston Celtics an idea of a boycott of game one, which would be today. But then all of a sudden to have the Milwaukee Bucks do that where no one knew, you know, even the Orlando Magic didn't know because they took to the court for warmups while the Bucks just stayed in their locker room. And it was just a surreal time that came afterwards. This year in 2020, we've seen so many different things. But the NBA has provided us with some weird moments in leadership, in standing up, in having a voice. You know, Rudy Gobert and him testing positive shut down not just the NBA, but really North America back on March 11th. And then now yesterday, we saw the NBA take the strongest stand I think we've seen outside of the protests when after George Floyd was murdered. These are the strongest stands I think I've seen from anyone else where they have a platform, they have a voice, and they used it by saying, we're not playing NBA games. You know, there was a lot of talk going into the bubble. You know, Kyrie Irving led a group of players who were going, they didn't want to make sure that, you know, they didn't want to overshadow Black Lives Matter. Yeah. I think the thing we have to realize is, one of the reasons George Floyd murder was so big and created such large protests and had such attention drawn to it, one was the video, which was shocking, but two, nothing else was going on. There were no distractions. There was nothing to take your eyes off of what was happening.
Yeah.
When sports came back, the distractions came back. And that's something the NBA was scared of. And especially the players, they were scared of that distraction. And then we saw Jacob Blake get shot in the back 7 times over the weekend by going to his car, and his kids were in the back seat. And the players stood there and went, we're not going to be a distraction. We want to make sure Black Lives Matters and the fight for equality of all is more important than sports. And it was just a surreal moment. It was a very historic moment yesterday. And it's something I'll never forget for the rest of my life with what the NBA did. And then, as you said, we saw it with some baseball teams and some players as they chose to opt out. And it was just, it's to me also just a little fascinating to see that it's sports athletes that are, you know, really being the strongest voices on this, as opposed to our supposed leaders. They're the ones that are supposed to be the voices. They're the ones that are supposed to lead us. They're the ones that are supposed to, you know, make the strong statements, but it's our basketball and our athletes that are doing it.
And that's what, where I think we have to be clear, Maddie, is this was the players. This wasn't the commissioner of the NBA, the commissioner of the WNBA, the commissioner of MLB, the commissioner of the NHL. These were the players that made this choice to boycott. And I know they're saying postponement, but that's not what it is.
No, it's a boycott. Yeah. And actually, I saw one person come out and say, you know, we should actually call it a strike for equality. But, you know, even the Bucks, when they released their statement and spoke, they called it a boycott, because that is it. This isn't Adam Silver saying we're going to postpone these games. This isn't, you know, Robert Manfred doing it. These were the players. They are the ones that stood there and went, we're not playing today for this. And, you know, I guess when you look at the NBA, the one reason they were able to do this was, well, actually, there's two reasons they were able to do this. One, the NBA, outside of any of the other big leagues in North America, the stars are bigger than the league itself. LeBron James, Steph Curry, you know, Kevin Durant, all the stars are actually bigger than the owners, than the league. If they wanted to break off and do their own thing, they'd have great success. In the NFL, you're replaceable. As great as Tom Brady is, the Shield's more important. Roger Goodell has more power. In the NHL, you know, we love Connor McDavid, but the power's not there. It's in basketball, the stars actually have power more so than the league. And so they're able to use that voice. And the other thing too is their commissioner, Adam Silver, has been very much a player's commissioner, that the players knew when they boycotted this, the league was going to support them. Their owners were going to support them.
Yeah.
They didn't have to be worried about that. You know, if an NHL player or an NHL team did this, I don't know if there would have necessarily been the support right away. I'm sure it would have come. In the NFL, there absolutely wouldn't have been the support. We've seen that. You know, why is this still happening? You know, Colin Kaepernick took the knee and there was no support for him then. But the NBA, at least that's a league that has very much embraced their players and have empowered their players. But you're right. In the end, this isn't Adam Silver. This isn't the owners of the NBA making a stand. This was the players. They used their voice. They stood up, and they need to be commended. And absolutely, there wasn't postponement. You know, maybe the Lakers Trailblazers officially is postponed because the players never got to make the decision. But the first one was because of the players. This is a boycott.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest price possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNHL for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Matthew Wanick from TSN 1260 and the Dave Jamieson Show. Matt, some big news last night as Shams Charania from The Athletic tweeted out, the Lakers and Clippers have voted to boycott the NBA season. Most other teams voted to continue. LeBron James exited the meeting, and then you heard from ESPN's The Waj also that, you know, this was more of a poll and all that, and that the NBA season remains up in the air. Just your thoughts on what's going to happen here and on this news that the two biggest names in LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and the two biggest teams, they are the two biggest team, don't want to continue with the season.
Yeah, you know, it's a crazy development, and it's just, it's wild to see this is where we are. Just hours, or, you know, that's where we got to, hours after the Bucks chose to boycott, and how so much has happened. And I think one thing we're going to have to remember is that obviously emotion's going to run high through all this. There's a lot of anger, there's a lot of pain that everyone is going through. But it's just, to me, the first thing that really stands out is the fact that it is the Lakers and it is the Clippers who are the two teams that are saying we shouldn't finish the season. As we got back to playing basketball, just even from the start of the season, just throughout, always, I think everyone had one, two, is the teams that are going to win the title this year are either going to be the Clippers or the Lakers. It's going to be one of the LA teams. And, you know, just to add to what you threw out there, I think two of the other more vocal teams throughout the meeting also were the Bucks and the Raptors. And really, when you put those four teams together, they're the four teams with the most to lose out of all this. You know, and I'll go back to the two LA teams. They're the two teams that you think could go win a title. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard's trying to become a player to win a title with three different teams and do it in back-to-back years. LeBron James is trying to win a title with a third different team, trying to bring it back to the Lakers, a year where Kobe Bryant passed away. And, you know, he's getting up there in age, and who knows how many more opportunities he'll have for this. But they're willing to throw it all away for this movement, for what's going on in society, for the fight for the Black community. And that really just speaks to me in just how passionate they are about this. You know, if this was, I don't know, I pick two other teams, basically. I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, like if this was the Celtics and let's say the Nuggets or something like that, you know, you'd sit there and go, okay, well, it is what it is. But these are really the two teams with the best chance of winning. They have two of the best players in the game outside of Kevin Durant. They're probably those are the top three players in basketball in a huge market. And when you're dealing with the Lakers, you know, the biggest team in the NBA, that it's fascinating to watch where this is going and to see now where this goes from here. You know, is this a case where we're going to see the Lakers and Clippers not want to play? I'm not so sure, you know, they're not going to play while other teams are going to play, but what if that is the case? You know, can you really have a championship with LeBron and without Kawhi Leonard? And what pressure does this put on Adam Silver and the league? You know, if your best two players are saying, we don't want to play because we don't want to distract from Black Lives Matter, well, how do you, one, try to convince them to play? How do you come with a plan to say, this is what we're going to do to try to really draw more attention to everything? Like, there's just so many question marks that now come from this. And we have a board of governors meeting this morning with the owner and some players. The reps are going to be there in the union, but it's going to be crazy to watch. And that, you know, it was a stunning day yesterday throughout. But when you saw that the Lakers and the Clippers were the two teams that didn't want to continue while the other teams as of right now want to, it was, you know, you get taken aback because you go, whoa, you know, the two teams that should go, one of them should go win the title this year, they're willing to give up that title. They're willing to give up championship glory in the name of this movement.
Yeah, and you have to applaud, you know, LeBron James has been one hell of a leader when it comes to the NBA and in the platform. He's used it so, you know, to perfection. And listen, it's and you make a great point. Like, he wants to give up, you know, a title run or whatever for, you know, for what he believes in and for changes in America and all that. And it's crazy to think that the NBA season might get canceled, not because of COVID, but social injustice or racism. And today's going to be an interesting day to see what happens, because let's be honest here, Matt, we're probably not going to see NBA action for, you know, who knows, maybe it could be 3-4 days, even a week, or it might be done for good. Like, what can we expect here in these next coming days?
Yeah. And like, honestly, the part of it being done for good, I kind of surprises me, because initially when, you know, the Bucks boycotted and there was just the rest of the games were stopped, you know, I just kind of felt that the NBA would just take a few days and that's it. They're not really going to boycott the whole season or stop the whole season. And but now my mind goes to, it's a possibility, because when LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and their teams are saying, hey, this is something that we should maybe look at or should probably do, then that draws a lot of attention to that. But it you know, when you're dealing with this subject matter, when you're dealing with Black Lives Matter and the injustice in the United States and really around the world, you look at it and go, it's a very sensitive issue. It's a very, it's an issue that there's a lot to it. There's a lot involved, and it's not just easy answers. It's not a case of, you know, the players are going to be able to come together over a course of a dinner and come with an idea of how they want to all band together to further that movement. There's not going to be an easy snap of the finger from the owners to be able to present the plan to the players of, this is how we're going to do more. This is how we're going to get more done in the name of Black Lives Matter. That doesn't happen so quickly. And even just the emotion of all of this, the pain and mm-hmm. you know, we all saw Doc Rivers a couple nights ago speak so eloquently on this, and everything that is going through these players. It's not just with a snap of the finger, you can just get back on the basketball court and dribble. You know, I know there was some, you know, people on the far right media in the United States that told these players to shut up and dribble. Well, they've doubled down the other way. They've basically, you know, have told them to, you know, bugger off, we'll do what we want to do. And they've done some amazing things, but it's just hard to imagine that, you know, today would have been Raptors Celtics game one, game two was supposed to go Saturday. It's hard to see that that game two, you know, they could do just game one on Saturday. It's hard to see that all that emotion and could be set aside and all the demands, if you will, that the players are going to want from the owners are going to be able to be figured out very quickly. And we're going to see basketball come Friday or come Saturday, that, you know, you look at it and go, at the earliest, we're looking at Monday. And it's fascinating because baseball, with all the games that were postponed yesterday, I know today that there's supposed to be double headers all over the place with those games that's postponed. And maybe the baseball could get just back out there and playing, and maybe all other sports like MLS could just get back out there and playing. But with how much the players have used their voices, how much the players have talked about their own pain and suffering, and the pain and suffering of also just everyone in the Black community, I don't think that just goes away over the course of one night. And it's going to take a while till we see that the basketball return. And that's just going to be fascinating to watch too, though, is just how this goes about and how these players in this league, they work together. And it's not really getting back on the court to play basketball. It's to get, that's the end result.
Yeah.
But really, it's how do they come together to find the right solution that benefits the Black community and tries to benefit to further the movement of Black Lives Matter and just have that, their voice heard, but also just have this movement progress forward. And that's going to be the interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, definitely compelling days ahead for the NBA and all other sports, Matt, because I know the Blue Jays after the game said they're going to meet and talk about if they're going to play tomorrow. And then the MLB is saying the teams that didn't play today will play doubleheaders. Will the NHL follow suit? Will the WNBA continue with their boycott as well? So it's going to be a busy, busy, busy day today when it comes to the world of sports again. And then this, we're joined by Matthew Wanick from TSN 1260 and Dave Jamieson show. We both work in this media business and we get an inbox and there's a lot of tough people when you don't have to put a face or a name to your comments and all that. And you see it on social media. How sick are you, of hearing, you know, that narrative, like just stick to sports?
There's many reasons I love the saying stick to sports, because sports and politics have been together for as long as you know, we've had sports, you know, going all the way back to Jesse Owens, putting the fist up at the 1936 Olympics or whatever it was, you know, that's politics. You know, I remember I brought this up on the show a few years ago. The Edmonton Oilers did a night for oil and gas. You know, we all know in this province, we rely heavily on oil and gas, and it's struggling. You know, the barrel of oil is weak and all that. They did a night in support of oil and gas workers and in support of the industry. That's politics. That's bringing politics into sports. But there weren't those complaints then. You get those complaints only because people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what's going on. And what I find fascinating about this one, and I'll keep it to Black Lives Matter and everything that's going on, is, you know, especially here in Alberta, you know, and in Canada in general, the makeup of this country is very much white. You know, I'm born and raised in Edmonton. I'm white. I'm a male. I've only lived white privilege. I don't have to wake up any day of my life going outside in fear of being judged over the color of my skin or my gender or my sexual orientation. I've never had to have that in my life come through my mind. I'll never know what it's like to experience something like that. And because people don't experience that or know that, it just seems like it's just too easy for them to think either it's not real or it's not actually painful or that it doesn't matter. And it's then easier to be, no, let's just talk about the Oilers power player, who's going to be their third line center, or let's talk about sports, as opposed to looking at the real issues. And the thing we need to recognize here in society is, you know, and we had it through COVID. You know, sports is great. Sports is wonderful for us. We love watching it. You know, it is a great distraction from the world problems. It's great for mental health. But if sports entirely went away tomorrow, the world would still move on. The world would still go around the sun. The world exists. We would find different ways to, you know.
And we did it, man.
And that's exactly it. I've always had that statement. And then COVID happened. It was like, it proved it. It proved that sports isn't everything. And there are things that are more important in life than sports. And one of those things is equality for everyone. It's just loving everyone and treating everyone the same. And that's why I laugh a little bit when I hear stick to sports, but I get so frustrated and angry when I get to stick to sports, because it's one of those, no, I'm definitely not. And when you tell me that, I'm going to double down. I'm going to go more politics just to really get this message across, because look, this here's why we're at where we're at today. And yesterday, the boycott happened. 4 years prior to the day is when Colin Kaepernick took a knee.
Yeah, that's
four
amazing.
Years to the day when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, that's when the Bucks boycotted this game. Why are we still fighting over that? Why are we still talking and protesting and arguing about the same thing? Why haven't we listened over the last 4 years? We haven't seen any change. You just read those quotes. You know, there nothing has happened because people chose to bury their heads in the sand instead of listen. Yeah. They've chosen to just make it about the anthem or make it about whatever else it was, as opposed to the Black community is suffering. There's an injustice against them, especially by Black or by policemen in the United States. And if we just listened then and made some changes then, maybe none of this would be happening. But sadly, 4 years later, we're having the exact same conversation. Colin Kaepernick is be proving absolutely right. And we're still fighting for that change. And honestly, you know, and look, in defense of everything and then the Black community, this has been going on longer than that. This has obviously been going on longer than Colin Kaepernick. But really for modern times and for my life, this has really been the start. And 4 years and nothing has changed. So no, we won't stick to sports until this gets fixed. You know, that's the easiest way to solve this. We'll go back to sports. Let's just first enact those changes and then we only have sports to worry about.
And that's the thing. Just because it doesn't happen to you doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't exist. It doesn't hurt people. It doesn't destroy families. And I think that's important. On the other side of the break, more with Matthew Wanick on a historic, powerful day yesterday in the sporting world led by the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll obviously touch on the NHL. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL.
You're listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast, and I think it's important because people tune into these pods to want to hear an NHL, but
yeah,
it's so important what happened on Wednesday, and it started with the NBA, and it's important, I think, that we have to discuss it because that leads into the NHL. And the NHL had an opportunity with that first game on Wednesday, Boston-Tampa Bay, to
The first game was already underway.
And it was kind of
and Flyers.
It was kind of unfair for those players to Angelo's questions. I saw some of the quotes, and they were kind of just caught off guard. They didn't really know. And a lot of them kind of said, we don't want to answer because we don't know what's going on. And I think that's totally fair. But so check that. I think the NHL had an opportunity to be for the second game, Boston and Tampa Bay, call it off. Now, these other leagues, it was on the players. So I'm not going to give too much. You can't be too harsh on the NHL. I mean, the NHL could have stepped up and said, we're postponing it to join the other leagues. But again, the players could have made a decision as well. But again, the NHL always seems like they're missing the boat on this. You know, they came out and said, in the wake of the Jake Blake shooting, the NHL will hold a moment of reflection before tonight's game. That's not enough in my eyes. You had Kelly Rudy, who probably said it best on Sportsnet before the game started. I don't think we should be here. I think the NHL should postpone the games. I really feel that we should be more supportive of Black Lives Matter. And I mean, Maddie, the NHL just is always late to these parties. Regardless what they do after, they had a chance, they missed it. Where do you stand on what the NHL did on Wednesday?
Yeah, and like, look, the NHL is never a leader when it comes to societal issues. They're never a leader when it comes to anything outside of hockey. You know, there obviously was never going to be an Islanders Flyers boycott, even though they could have been the first. You know, they could have absolutely done something, but that's just not who the league is, and that's not who the players are. You know, this is a league that the players, we always want more out of them. We always want them in interviews to give us more, you know, just fun, some character, something. And they're just very bland, and that's just who they are. And to one degree, that's fine. You know, that's how NHL players want to be. And I'm with you. This, to me, is on the players more than the league. Even though the league could have done something, baseball didn't do anything yesterday. It was the teams. Again, so this goes to the players, and their colleagues from other sports were doing something, and the NHL chose, and the players chose not to do anything that day. And it was a huge missed opportunity. And, you know, if anything comes moving forward out of the NHL, great, I guess, but you had a chance to do it, like you said, and you didn't do it in that one time. And it's like, look, I know that there was talk, you know, Raptors in the Celtics about an idea of a boycott, and with all those players and how close they are in the NBA, I'm sure that there was some idea that the Bucks might do what they did. But again, the Magic were on that court. They thought they were playing a game. They were out there for warm-ups, which means which tells me that the Thunder and the Rockets didn't necessarily know the Bucks were going to boycott that game. Mm-hmm. Yet they made the decision when they found out to boycott their game, to sit out their next game. And Boston and Tampa Bay could have done the same thing yesterday. They saw all that. Again, 2 o'clock is when it all hit, and that game was played at 6 o'clock. You had 4 hours to get together and go, what do you guys want to do here? And easily, you know, stand in support with your fellow colleagues and stand in support of your fellow players. You know, we saw Evander Kane, we saw Matt Dumba, and we saw that hockey player coalition get formed in support of, you know, Black lives and social injustice. And they came out, you know, with the We Skate for Black Lives and everything that comes from it. And they ultimately chose then not to do anything about it on a day that was very historic. And to me, I look at the NHL and go, that's their right. They had every right to go play hockey. You know, there's no one way you have to go do things. But anytime moving forward that the league or the players want to talk about equality, anytime they want to talk about any sort of issue, it's going to absolutely ring hollow to me. Because on a day when you could have done that, on a day when it was obvious what you should have done, or I shouldn't say should have, what you could have done, you chose to play. You chose to get on the ice and be the distraction for people. And I won't forget that, but I didn't expect anything different from the National Hockey League. Had Boston and Tampa Bay not played, I would have been shocked, because that's just not something you expect from the NHL. And again, that's their right to do what they want to do. That's their right to be that, you know, not be big on social issues, not use their voice for anything. That's their right. But, you know, it is kind of, when you look at it, you know, what's the demographic of the NBA? It's African Americans, it's Blacks. What's the demographic of the NHL? It's, you know, pretty much white.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it goes to, you know, they don't know the struggles, and it's obviously this doesn't speak to them as much as it's going to for the NBA players. But when you see the NBA players taking that step back and going, we can't play, that should have been your sign to go, this is something we should stand in support with them. And that's where I'll go with, again, they have their right to do it, but anytime they want to fight for any sort of, you know, inequality, whether it's when it's Pride Month or anything, it's just always going to ring hollow just because they had the chance to do something and they chose not to.
Matthew, you want it from TSN 1260. Matt Dumba did say yesterday, he said, NHL is always last to the party on these topics. It's kind of sad and disheartening for me and for members of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, and I'm sure for other guys across the league. But if no one stands up and does anything, then it's the same thing. That's silence. You're just outside looking in on actually being leaders and evoking real change when you have such an opportunity to do so. That's what I wanted to touch about. I don't think the players, I give a free pass to Philadelphia and the Islanders because they were kind of on the ice already when this was kind of, you know, kicking off on Wednesday. But I mean, I don't think the players in the NHL don't care. I just think it's just they just go with the flow and just say we're gonna play and we're gonna play. I think they genuinely care about their teammates and the brotherhood that the NHL is. But well, what do you think this means to that Hockey Diversity Alliance with Matt Dumba and Darnell Nurse and Evander Kane? Like, this was a pretty strong statement when that game went off at 6 o'clock yesterday.
It shows that the league has to do a lot to, you know, show those players that they care and that there's a voice for them, and really to show, you know, look, it's about the players that are in the National Hockey League. It's about, you know, growing the sport. And we know that there's, you know, the demographics of Canada is changing. We're getting a lot of new Canadians every day, and a lot of them aren't white. And if you want to try to appeal to them, if you want to appeal to them that this sport is for them, you got to show that you're inclusive. And that's where the work's going to have to come. You know, You look at early of yesterday, and it's completely forgotten, but, you know, he had the Logan Couture situation where he tweeted that, you know, he got punched in the face because he says he supports Donald Trump and the Republican Party, or he would vote for them. And, you know, and no one should get punched for their political views. But one thing that happens when you stand up and say that you would vote for Donald Trump and the Republican Party, and I don't want to make this fully political, but it's, you know, Donald Trump has yet to utter the words Black Lives Matter. Donald Trump has yet to ever tweet or say something in support of these black protests or these protesters fighting for black issues, because not everyone's just black protesting. He said he's always talked glowingly about white protesters. You know, they stormed Michigan with guns, and he calls them good people, but he calls the black protesters thugs, or how he needs to get the police out there. So for a hockey player to say he supports that when his teammate is Evander Kane,
yeah,
you know, and for everything then to have happened that yesterday that happened, it just really shows that there's a lot of work that needs to be done for the minorities that are in hockey to show that they matter to everyone else. Then, you know, here's where it is interesting too, because, you know, we saw so many statements from NHL players after George Floyd's murder. We saw Jonathan Toews, we saw Connor McDavid, countless players came out. And one of the things that they all said was, they need to learn. They need to stop, listen, and learn. And you go, well, months later, you didn't stop and listen. You chose to play. And that's going to be the thing that the NHL and really the players are going to have to work on for that hockey alliance. Because, you know, even as we were starting the relaunch, Evander Kane came out and said the NHL's not listening to him. The NHL's not listening to the group. That anything they're throwing out there, it's kind of being dismissed by the NHL. And now you look back and you go, yeah, probably that was 100% accurate. Even if you didn't believe it at the time, it kind of looks now more like he was legit about his answer in that. And so there's going to be a lot that needs to be done. And there's a lot of fences that are going to need to be mended. And we'll see if they have it in them to go forward and try to fix that. But again, back to just what the NHL did yesterday, it's like, you know, in Canada, we're very fortunate. You know, we're very fortunate that we live a great life. And, you know, and we, you know, some of the struggle, like, one thing I love working with Dave Jamieson is all of his great stories when it comes from when he worked with the Edmonton football team.
Mm-hmm.
But often there's also some other stories that you get from him that, you know, the Americans, they come from different backgrounds that aren't necessarily the case here in Canada. Some of the neighborhoods that you have in the United States and the way society works isn't the same here. And when you play in a sport like hockey, which is over 50% going to be Canadians, and then you have some Europeans mixed into there, they really don't know that struggle. They really don't know. And it's going to be interesting to see how they now want to go about and listen and learn and try to do things in support of that Hockey Diversity Alliance.
JT Brown, I think he said it best on Twitter, saying listening and learning about as good as my 1-year-old. Players are not impressed. On August 26, 2020, we'll all remember this day because it was a major historic statement made to keep the conversation going. And I think it's important to keep it going. Matthew, thank you so much. You're always one of my favorites to talk about this topic. And all the best today, because I know the inbox is always an interesting one at TSN 1260.
This was fun, Hernan, and congratulations on taking over the podcast, and I look forward to possibly coming on to talk just even some Oilers with you down the line.
Once again, a big shout out to Matthew Wanick for joining me to talk about what happened on Wednesday in the sporting world. Once again, just very powerful, you know, a conversation that needs to keep going on, is we need more love, we need more learning and more understanding in this world. Once again, a shout out to Matthew Wanick. I'm going to keep the Friday show open for now. I don't want to promise and not deliver on any guests or topics is that, because we really don't know what's going to transpire here in the next couple of days when it comes to the sporting world. So just check our Twitters at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers, and at Locked On Pods, and I'll update all the information there for Friday's show, as once again we don't know what's going to be happening here when it comes to sports in the coming days. So yeah, just hit us up on our Twitter pages. You can also subscribe or follow for the latest episode on any of your favorite apps, and we greatly appreciate the downloads here on Locked On Oilers. Well, that wraps up this edition of Locked On Oilers. Hope you have a great day. We'll chat on Friday.